Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's lesson in the gospel, especially these words. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, at one of my churches in the past, there was an elderly member. And he always had, he always said the same thing almost to anything I said, and that was always, Lord willing. Lord willing, Pastor. And it could be for anything, you know. I'm going to go get the mail, Lord willing, you know, or is the potluck next week or the week after that? Well, Lord willing. And it started to seem to me almost like he was taking the name of the Lord in vain, you know. And so one time I said, well, I'll see you next Sunday. And he said, Lord willing. And I said, okay, what, you know. Why do you always say, Lord willing? I mean, is it just a habit or something? I mean, what do you really think is going to happen? And without cracking a smile or anything, he said, well, maybe Jesus could return before next Sunday. And then he paused and he said, or you could die. And I said, okay. I said, well, if the first happens, you can say I told you so. And if the second happens, then you're going to preach. Okay, so there you go. But it occurred to me there at that time that he wasn't kidding around, and this was not a figure of speech. This wasn't a habit of his conversation and communication. He really lived his life that way, as if the Lord was going to return any day. And that's, you know, if I didn't know better, I would think he was the one in charge of writing the pericopes for the end of the church year and for Advent. Because for like 7-8 weeks now, it's been talking about the end of the world, which obviously was really important to this guy. And we look at this text and we say, well, we live in a modern and sophisticated society, and so therefore as modern sophisticated people, we use modern and sophisticated forms of theology when we deal with this. So our tendency and our temptation is often to just try to push people away from extremism, right? So, you know, as I'm driving down the road, I'm not going to see one of you on a corner with a big thing over your head that says, repent, the end is near. You know, ooh, we can't do that. But Jesus, when he speaks these words, is not trying to keep his disciples from fanaticism. He's trying to keep them from complacency. This is an incredibly important doctrine in the church. It's not just something we confess in the creeds every Sunday. It's much more. It should have an impact on our life and faith every single day of our lives. Now, in this text, Jesus basically has two main points. The one is, you are never going to know when Jesus returns. And secondly, he is certainly going to return. Now, if Jesus feared that the people in his society would be complacent in his return, it's nothing compared to our society. I mean, 2,000 years ago, the people who are hearing Jesus' words, or the people who are reading or hearing read the words in Mark, lived at the time of Jesus. So they knew that he died on a cross. Many of them had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, and if they hadn't, they certainly knew someone who had. So they were thinking along these lines of him returning any time. Secondly, they also really saw their own end of the world just right over their shoulder every day. I mean, they could die any second from violence, from disease, from hunger. I mean, just working. If they get a little cut on their hand, there's a good chance they're going to die of infection. That's just the way life was. And because of that, they weren't that complacent. The people of Christ were looking up to the heavens desperately, praying that Christ would return to take them to a better place. 2,000 years later, our society decided, well, why don't we just make this a better place? Where there's no pain, where there's no suffering, where there's no harm, where there's no sin, where there's no hunger, where there's no guilt. And therefore, there's no reason to look up into the heavens if we have it all here. Well, you live in our society. How's that working out? People seem happier to you? They don't to me. As Christians, we can also be complacent in a sneaky way, where we look at this doctrine, especially where Jesus says, no one's going to know when Jesus returns, not even Jesus. And if that's the case, why should we even worry about it? If we don't know when he's coming, we in a modern church would tend to say, well, since we don't know what day he's coming, he could come a million years from now. the early church would say, well, we don't know when he's coming. And that means he could come today. I think that's a much better way of taking it. That's the way my old member thought, Lord willing, right? Yeah, that's the way we look at it, or we should look at it in the church. He could come any day now. And now we look at the words of Jesus here, and we see the importance of what he's saying to us. He says, stay awake, be watchful. But who can possibly be like, I mean, that member is the only person I've ever known to be that way. And who actually acts and thinks that way? And then I realized that I thought about it this week, people who are in love think that way. You've probably seen the TV show Monk. It's not on anymore. All the repeats are on. You can see them a million times a day. That's what happens in my home anyway, a million times a day, Monk's on. Monk is a detective, and he is amazing at how he can solve any crime, especially murder. But he's also neurotic, so he has all these weird little tics and tendencies. And he does have a brother named Ambrose who is also neurotic, and he has different tics and tendencies as well. Now, the thing they have in common is their neurosis, part of it anyway for these two brothers, is because their father abandoned them when they were young. Now, Monk responds to that by hating his father. But Ambrose responds in love. So for 30 years, he collects his father's mail. For 30 years, he collects his newspapers. And every night for 30 years, when he sets the supper table, there's a place setting for his father. And when you watch these episodes, you're supposed to see how pathetic that is. And it may be pathetic. And yet, it's certainly done by love. One time in my life, I lost a dog. It lasted for about 3 or 4 days. And eventually somebody found him and brought him home. But those 3 or 4 days were just devastating to me and my family. It's horrible. That's why I've made sure it never happens again. And I just was waiting and watching. I was hoping that, you know, there'd be a scratch on the front door and I'd open it up and there he'd be. I'd be happy again. Or I'd look out the back window and I'd see him at the gate wanting to be left in and I'd be happy again. And like Ambrose, right, I waited and watched, and that was done out of love. The thing is, the love that Ambrose had and the love that I had for that dog was also mingled with loss and with devastation. What we have is different. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus tells us exactly how we should be waiting and watching. And he says, you guys are like a bride who loves the groom. Even though the groom has been taken away for a while, the bride loves the groom, knows the groom loves her, and knows that he will return. Do you see how different that is? On Monk with Ambrose, he waited and watched in love for a father who had abandoned him. And me, when I lost that dog, I waited and watched in love for that dog, even though, to be perfectly blunt, that dog did not like me. Never did. It was my mom's dog. Bit me in the face once. So you see how different that is? That's a one-way love. What we have is so much different. We have the promise of a Savior who died for us. I mean, that's how much he loves us. And who rose from the dead to bring peace to his disciples and to us. That's how much he loves us. And just in case we forget, he tells us, I'm going to love you always, even until the end of the age. That's the love we have in Jesus Christ. That's why we watch and wait. And that's what this Advent is really all about. It's not just looking forward to Christmas, right? Because after all, the first Christmas was a while back. You know, you can't really look forward to that anymore. We're looking forward to Christ coming again. See, because then we are going to know Jesus and God even as we are known by him. And then we will not see him dimly in a mirror, we'll see him face to face. And then we'll see Jesus Christ for exactly who he is. And because of that, we will truly, for the first time, be his brothers and sisters. I pray that the God who had given us this promise of his coming again, where the King comes to take us home, I pray that that day has an impact on our life and faith this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.